In Sherman Alexie's adopted hometown of Seattle, the whisper network around him existed for years. Women writers told each other about inappropriate behavior or unwanted advances. One who's now come forward publicly is Alyssa Washuda, a writer and member of Washington's Cowlitz Indian tribe.
The silence was really destructive to me. It was destructive to my health. I was fearful for my career.
Washuda is one of three women who accused Alexie of unwanted sexual advances in an NPR story this week. According to NPR, several more women also recounted off-the-record stories suggesting Alexie used his power and celebrity to try to seduce them, women who often felt they needed his favor to be recognized in a challenging literary environment.
Sherman Alexie's work and voice and approach seem to be considered somewhat of the gold standard, and we are all considered sort of in relation to him in a certain way.
Early in her career, Washuda says Alexie told her he could have sex with her if he wanted. Another time at a conference, he sent her photos of a hotel room bed with condoms on a nearby table.
I don't want any young woman to be in that position that I was in ever again with Sherman Alexie, where, you know, I was sitting in a bar and he was telling me that he could have sex with me and that I just had to endure it and not make any waves because it felt that important for my career.
Washuda places some blame on a publishing industry she says put Alexie on a pedestal and enabled him to act as sort of a gatekeeper for other Native writers.
Publishers and agents and book critics can all look at this and see that for so long, one writer has had a disproportionate amount of their attention to the exclusion of a lot of other Native writers.
Alexie did not reply to numerous requests for comment, but did recently issue a statement of apology, saying some women were telling the truth about him. Alexie grew up on the Spokane Indian Reservation, and his work centers on Native life and struggles. He's an icon and a celebrated success story within the broader Native community, where many are now grappling with these allegations.
It's also going to take us to really ask the uncomfortable questions.
Kalina Lawrence is a 25-year-old artist and member of the Suquamish tribe. She's also an activist who speaks out about violence against women. One question Lawrence wants raised in her Native community is their role in elevating powerful voices and how to hold them accountable.
And I think it's really difficult because we're just so eager to have representation that sometimes we're willing to sacrifice the imperfections just so that we're at least seen and heard.
Lawrence is also optimistic that her generation is ready to confront some of the Me Too issues in Indian country and a silence that has spanned generations.
It's a big, huge, 10-foot wave that we're standing here looking at. And we have the tools. We just have to create space.
Sarah Marie Ortiz is a Native writer and a longtime friend of Alexie's. She calls the allegations against him immensely complicated. In her view, the Me Too movement has created a blueprint that doesn't fit Native traditions or culture.
We have old systems of restorative justice and different processes that have nothing to do with social media and have nothing to do with the often punitive, often repressive and dehumanizing thing that happens in courtrooms and in the court of public opinion.
Ortiz also sees this moment as an opportunity for others and for herself.
If anything, don't want to underestimate my own agency or voice or power as a Native woman in calling upon our Native men, but our men in general, to just be better and to be more vulnerable and more honest than ever before, because that is what it's going to take.
She's glad more women are finding ways forward to tell their stories and more men to listen.
I'm Liz Jones reporting.